Hey,
Hi, good
Rob.
morning, Rob.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Fine. Can you put the volume up?
Oops, sorry. Let me turn the volume up. Okay.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Good.
Rob,
how are you?
I'm fine.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep. Can you hear us?
Yes, clearly.
Yeah. Rob, Tony is trying to bring me into the 21st century. Okay. All right. We're talking about various ways with accounts that have below $250,000 and moving them into other things that are a little more.
We're just trying to get more efficient time-wise because we've got way too many accounts that we're handling on a one-off basis where it's like, in order to make any changes, you literally have to deal with them individually. Like, it's crazy.
Right.
You got to call the clients, and, I mean, from a practical standpoint, it's just out of control. So the more we can get into models, whether it's firm models or our models, the more we can just, you know, handle 100 accounts or 200 accounts at a time, as opposed to doing them separately, which is the way we're doing it now.
So what he means is at this point, you know, we don't have a resource to send them to a call center or to give them to another FA in the office or anything like that. So they're trying to manage these smaller accounts because we still have to keep them. We can't really do anything with them yet, but it's a way to manage them so they kind of like float on their own.
Right.
Until we have that resource.
We're not really like reaching out to all these people. We're just trying to come up with a game plan so that we know what we want to do moving forward. Like, what program are we going to use? What models are we going to use? There's so many options that we're trying to simplify it so, you know, we don't have 100 different ideas for 100 different clients. We have, you know, 3, 4, 5 models that we're using, and we're moving these clients into these models to be more efficient and have better time management on our end. Because we've got a lot of these people.
Okay,
yeah.
So two different issues, okay? One of them is, well, here's my suggestion. My understanding is you're going to get a client services department for your market that your manager is going to create, so you can move these accounts into that department, so you don't have to worry about it. Okay, so my understanding is some of the teams are putting them in a different number so that they kind of get them off their books, still be responsible for them, but not have to worry about them.
Do the brokers still get paid?
Yeah, I guess, sure.
Yeah, it would be part of
so,
your
yeah, until you move them. Until you move them, then you don't.
Right, until you move them.
Right.
So that would be, you know, those would be temporary steps in order, you know, prior to a permanent move. So I would not do anything. I wouldn't waste any time on these clients now because you've got so many other important things to do. All right. Now, in the future, you're not going to take these clients. So you don't need a strategy for managing them. Okay. So it's not... I would not set up a permanent condition for these clients. Let the client services department do that. And I would focus on having a permanent strategy for how do you manage your existing clients that you're going to keep. Now, that's worthwhile effort. How do we simplify that so that we manage that efficiently so we don't have to spend any more time than we need on that? That makes sense.
Okay,
so basically do the same thing, but don't waste your time on small accounts. Waste your time, you know, use your time efficiently on your big accounts and make them more efficient so that you don't have, you know, 250 different strategies for managing clients. You have, what I recommend is just have your boxes, you know, have a supernova, create a strategy where you use asset allocation, use your own brain to overweight things that you think are going to outperform, but you asset allocate as you normally would for any client, assuming they have a normal risk tolerance. And you create, you know, maybe six boxes, and then you put different money managers or ETFs or whatever you care for in each box. And you have six boxes, and that's all you need. Right?
When you say six boxes, that six allocation models, is that what you're saying?
No, just one allocation model with six boxes, and then you can overweight them depending on the risk tolerance of the client. But look, I'm not an investment guy. I mean, I've been doing it for 48 years, so I know something about it. But let's say you have six boxes, right? You have three value boxes on the left. You got core in the center, and you got growth on the right. You got small, medium, and large. Okay? And then you got your bond allocation. That's about all you need. What else do you need? You need some international, maybe. You know, throw some international in there. But other than that, that's about it.
Okay. All right, so Rob, what's on the docket for this week as far as Supernova is concerned?
Well, your homework was roles and responsibilities. How'd you do on that?
Revolving.
Well, honestly, we didn't. This was a fairly hectic week, so we didn't really get much done. I mean, on the Supernova front, I did get some people scheduled on the scheduler, but other than that, I mean, our roles are fair. Like, director of planning would definitely be me because I'm doing the financial planning.
Wait a minute. Let me write them down.
Okay.
Okay. So this is Tony?
Yeah. Okay. I'm doing all – GPS is basically exclusively my role to create them. When we meet with clients, I review them. You know, I mean, that's my role on the team. Director of implementation, which I'm assuming you're talking about then, like, implementing the asset allocation and the investments, which would be both of us because we're both doing that. Sometimes together, sometimes separately.
Somebody's got to be in charge. So
I
who's
keep
in charge?
Then he's in charge. Then Mike's in charge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mike has the final say.
Mike has the final say. If we, I guess you were saying if we disagree, or is that what you're getting at?
Well, somebody's got to report on the asset allocation, and the 24-month calendar is the most – the 24-month calendar is – a really good idea, really important in order to implement the financial plans and not do one-offs.
Right.
Okay? So you batch process all your mortgages for 2 month period, right? Or lines of credit or whatever you're doing having to do with liabilities. You do that for a 2 month period. That's in the 24-month calendar. You got to make sure that you're doing your RMDs. Right, you got. That's basically the training officer for the team. Person that keeps the team organized in terms of implementing the financial plans and the asset allocation models. Updating the asset allocation models, creating them and updating them.
Well, like there's a differentiation there because for RMDs, like Lisa's kind of the one that heads up that to say what RMDs need to be done, who's scheduled for an RMD that we have to raise cash for. Like, she kind of handles all that. If you're talking investments, you know, I mean, Mike is – that's his forte, although I have accounts that I certainly manage the portfolios for. you know, Mike is known as the investment guy for a lot of his clients. And honestly, that's an issue we've talked to you about before, is like we're trying to make sure that Mike's clients don't think that, like, Mike is the investment guy and I'm the planning guy. So then if Mike, they're scared shitless that Mike's going to retire because nobody's going to know what to do with their investments. And that, we've kind of talked to you about that before. Like, that's not a message we want to be portraying to clients, to say, like, yeah, Mike's doing everything with your portfolio, so if he leaves, you're shit out of luck.
Right. I get it.
And we keep integrating Tony into more and more of my client phone calls.
So, like, I'm fine to be the director of planning, you know, if that's a role that on our team is my designation, but I don't know if I want clients to think of me as the guy who does the plans and nothing else. You know what I mean? Like, that really doesn't serve a purpose when it comes to our team structure.
All right. So here's my suggestion. All right, Tony, you're director of planning.
Right.
Mike, you're in charge of the investment process, but Mike's in charge of the 24-month calendar. Okay.
All right.
And Tony, I want you to build the asset allocation models. And then
all
I want you two to argue, and then I want you two to argue about what is the proper fit for those asset allocation models and come up with one that's acceptable for both of you.
Perfect. Okay. We should do that anyway.
Okay.
And then we could use those models across a lot of accounts as opposed to doing one-offs, which is what we're doing now with too many different accounts.
Correct.
Okay. What do you think, like, meeting like once a month is appropriate for, like, what do big teams do when they have, you know, like they're working together on portfolios? Are they meeting how often to discuss?
Twice a week.
Once a week?
Twice a week.
Twice a week. Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. So you meet every day, okay, for 15 minutes, and you talk about urgent things. Monday, you meet and talk about basically prospecting, okay, marketing. And on Friday, you meet and talk about the five-star model. So you'd really talk about asset allocation, 24-month calendar, and investments once a week on Friday. Okay?
Okay.
That's really what you do. Okay?
Right.
So just, that's an important meeting, though, because you're going to talk about planning. Who's got plannings? Who's doing plans? Who's not? Who do you have? What's in your calendar? And then the 24-month calendar, asset allocation models. You guys should meet, you know, quite a bit until you get the asset allocation models done. You know, just work on it. Okay, brand management. That is the person. This is a really important role. This is the role of manager of the office. It's really the practice manager for the team. So you can elevate that position to one of your personal trainer. So a person can, you know, a person is, a, you know, you have multimillionaires that hire personal trainers that tell them what to do, right? So it doesn't matter the situation of the person on the team, they're still in charge of making sure that things get done. So, would that be Lisa?
I believe so, right, Lisa? I mean,
I think so.
When you mentioned that, Rob, just now, I'm starting to, whenever you mention the activity, I'm thinking who is sort of doing that now, and that seems to be you. Don't you think, Lisa?
Right.
I think, yeah.
Right. And one of the issues we talked to you about is that too many of Mike's people call him. This isn't Lisa's fault either, by the way. But too many people call him on issues that ultimately should go through Lisa. And Lisa's great with clients. She's got a good personality on the phone. People like talking to her. So, like, we need to get more people calling her when they need things done, like, you know, sending out a checkbook. Or, I mean, I'm guilty of it too. It's not just Mike. I got like two calls in the last week about checkbooks to be, you know, can you order me another checkbook? Like, you know, that's something that shouldn't come through my phone. That should go right to Lisa.
And what I tell client, and I literally, a little bit of a background about us. We've been together for what, 5 years, Tony?
5 or 6, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we've been together for, I'm going to guess, 5 years now. And for 2.5 years, we had a secretary that after 6 months, I wanted to fire because she was telling clients what to do on their portfolios, and then she was giving income tax advice. But it took me we got her fired.
She's no longer with the firm.
She's no longer with the firm. We finally got her fired a year and a half ago. And so Lisa has stepped in and has just been a nice, terrific transition where I haven't heard, really, I haven't heard a bad complaint from any clients. The only client that I heard a bad complaint from, ironically enough, we fired. Because he was using the F word. Okay, we got rid of him last year. That was Mr. Halper.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? He
mm-hmm.
just wasn't nice. And I'm at the point right now where last week when a client called me to ask me an administrative thing, I literally said to the client, how dare you call me to ask me about something like this? Then said to Lisa, because I can't see her from my desk, are you there? She said, yes. I said, pick up. And then instructed the client, don't you dare call me for anything administrative. And I did it in a joking manner, Rob. Okay? And that's the way I'm handling those things. I refuse to talk to anybody about anything other than their portfolios.
That's really good.
That's an important
really
step
important.
For me. I used to be more accommodating about that. You know, Lisa tossed something out. She says, boy, I can't wait to get to the day when we have another secretary. And that stuck with me. That really stuck with me. You know, but maybe, you know, we can get to another point with another secretary and another broker, but maybe we're a year away from that. But the other thing you should know is I keep bringing new money in. That's for sure. You know, $1 million last week, $1 million this week. Looks like, you know, another transfer is coming in. Other people I met with yesterday, they seem to have an outside money I didn't know about. Okay.
One of our pain in the rear end clients.
And we had a client who was a pain in the backside who had gambling problems, and unfortunately 7 years ago her husband committed suicide. She's taken a $1 million portfolio and taken it down to $300,000 because she has gambling problems, and Morgan Stanley's legal department has been on, and she transferred her account, which, as far as I'm concerned, was like should be a champagne celebration for our team. I'm just thrilled that she's gone. So I don't think we have anybody out there right now that can give us problems. We've managed to get rid of people that we don't like.
Good.
We're getting to the point where anything and everything administrative goes to Lisa. And we're probably going to have, we had a brief meeting on Friday. We're probably going to have another meeting this Friday and do what we did just so that we can talk more about what we are talking about today.
Good.
Okay.
Good. And get everything. Look, one of the things, I was just at a meeting in Philadelphia with you for you guys. And one of the things I was shocked at is, for example, not everybody is online. Okay. So one of the things you can do for Lisa is to make sure that every client has an email, every client is online, there are no paper statements, things like that. I mean, don't create work for yourselves by failing to take advantage of automation. So along with all of our other, you know, we used to – before Supernova, there was something called the 8 Steps to Success. And it was automate, elevate, annuitize. Okay? So automate everything you possibly can. So you become, I mean, why do we have all this technology if we're not going to automate? Automate, elevate, I mean, have bigger clients. Annuitize so you don't have to, you know, worry about where your next dollar is coming from. And put yourselves on the same side of the table as the client. So the fundamentals haven't changed since those days. But try and make every task that Lisa does elevated to the point where she's not doing things that clients could do for themselves easily online and would do if they knew how. Okay?
I think Lisa's in the process of doing that.
We work on that.
Yeah, I think like yesterday a client called up, said she didn't have her income tax thing. I heard Lisa direct that person and sort of walk that person through.
Through the online site to where it's at.
Yeah, and that's a process. But, you know, you have a lot of clients that are savvy,
right.
And they can pick that stuff up, you know.
The e-sign documents, sure. We're getting more and more of that.
We're doing more and more e-sign documents with clients where, you know, that's helping the process.
So here's one of the things I suggest you do. I would suggest on the 24-month calendar that one of the months be e-sign documents. Okay? And that,
well,
Lisa,
just Morgan Stanley online is more relevant because that encompasses,
okay,
e-delivery, e-sign, e-authorization, you know, all the electronic communication that we use. We have our NBA campaigns where we send out NBAs. So one of the things should be just Morgan Stanley online.
So here's my suggestion. You guys take vacation, right?
Yeah. Which is something we got.
So one of the things you do is you say, okay, that month, Lisa is going to be making the phone calls. So you figure out a way for Lisa to be freed up to make the phone calls, the 1242s, and sign up people for eSign. Okay?
Okay.
It's a really smart thing to do, and what it does is it teaches the clients who Lisa is and that her role is as important as anybody's role on the team, that she's going to be calling you about with an agenda for that month, and that you're to be there and listen to her. Okay?
I listen to her.
And that way, yeah, listen to her, right, just like they listen to you.
We have to, Robert. She yells at us if we don't listen.
She's becoming the Maha.
Well, I want her to be. Okay, I want her to take on this role for not just your 1242s, but for your marketing efforts. Okay? So when you set, I want you all to think about, I want to have a meeting with a center of influence every month. I want to put it on the agenda. I mean, I want to put it on the scheduler, and then I'm going to have an agenda for it, and we're going to treat it just like it's an existing client. And Lisa, you hold them accountable to that, plus you hold them accountable to the Monday meeting and the Friday meeting. You schedule it, you send them an email confirming it, and they're there. And you're there, okay? And you guys meet together and talk about your marketing effort on Monday, and you talk about your five-star model on Friday and how everybody's doing to move your ball forward. I'm telling you, this is the answer, guys, to how we're going to get this thing really organized. And, Michael, you are growing, and you're bringing in assets, and it's working, but you can get a multiplier effect on that. And then you'll have your second sales assistant. And that's becomes, you know, Lisa then has somebody to do all the other tasks while she runs the office.
Okay.
Marketing. Who's in charge of marketing? This is the growth. Who's in charge of growth?
I guess me. We haven't talked about that yet.
When you say growth, you're talking about like marketing efforts as far as
that's
right. Influence and doing client events and stuff like that?
That's right. And you create a 24-month calendar for client events. So let's take your enthusiastically endorsed list. Okay, you wanna have an enthusiastically endorsed list of professionals that you guys agree on and work with. Some are gonna be regional, you know, they don't like to, you know, certain parts of town wanna stay with somebody nearby and so forth. So you're gonna have more than one center of influence, but you wanna bring those people together to meet each other. So you have an event, you know, if you're not allowed to share cocktails, then you do something else. You do a sporting event or do something fun. But you bring them together and they get to know each other and they share introductions with each other because they all know they've been vetted by you. They all know that they're enthusiastically endorsed by lots of people and that they're good people. So that's just one example, right? Client recognition events. You should do those. Client recognition event where you bring a friend. You should do those.
Go golfing. Both of you.
Didn't say go golfing?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Good. Yeah, have a golf outing.
That would be a good idea.
Anyway.
Actually. Just get like four groups together and...
Yeah, could do that.
Or even just, you know, the two of you. Like if you're with another threesome and you're with another threesome and you're back
right,
to back.
Right.
You know, so you're kind of seeing each other like in between holes and then just a lunch.
Yeah, and we could put that on our BDAs and it wouldn't even cost us anything. If we bring a wholesale, they'll pay for the whole thing.
Oh, true.
Right. So, Lisa, do you want to be in charge of marketing?
Well, I was just supplying ideas.
I know. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You're the one coming up with the good ideas.
Okay. Rob, I have to tell you that I have been, some of this has been on my mind, but I have just been a disaster with some of this stuff because I'm just, sometimes I think I'm like the fullback who gets the ball and just goes into the line and just pummels away at things. And it's only recently since I've had Tony and Lisa as partners that they've sort of opened up my eyes a little bit. And what I thought about doing on Monday of next week is have a meeting in this room and have Isaiah and Keith, our management team, come in and essentially talk about the various things that I could do because I got like $10,000. Plus, I have pretty good relationships with people who have ETFs. And they literally call me and say, what do you need? What can we do?
They say it every time they come in.
They say, can we do anything for you? What do you want us to do? And I never take advantage of any of this stuff. I just throw them out of the – I say, thank you very much. Give me your research and leave, please. I'm not being
– Right.
I mean, it's a nice relationship, respectful relationship, but I just want to get back to doing my job, if you know what I mean.
The problem is that when you do big events – where you're sending out invites and stuff, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
The firm makes you jump through freaking hoops. Everything's got to be approved. You got to have lists. It's like not even worth the effort. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's just so much effort to do something. You're better off doing smaller groups. If we do a dinner group, like 10, you know, five couples, you get a wholesale to pay for the wholesale. You don't send out invites. It's just, you just list the clients that are coming and you get it approved quickly, or a golf thing. Get same thing. You know, stuff like that's easy. The bigger events, if you have 100 clients come to a restaurant and you have a big room and it's brutal.
That's too much. And besides, it loses the intimacy.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, I run conferences. Outside of here, I run conferences for Catholic organizations, and I speak to 700 or 1,000. That's not a big deal as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But I would much rather prefer.
You don't even want to speak, because if you speak, they're literally going to make you say a pre-approved firm thing. Like, you can't just shoot. You're very good at shooting off the cuff. The problem is Morgan Stanley doesn't want you to do that. We should just have casual events where we just get to hang out with clients.
Forget about
talking about products and that. Who cares? They know what we know what we're doing anyway. We just want to just hang out with them and get – close
get
to them
to know
and get
them.
Referrals from them because we have great relationships.
Okay.
you know, that, at least that's my opinion.
I mean, you could even
Well,
do
I'm
that.
Thinking that we could do our roofing company. We can do our roofing company somewhere over at maybe Blue, and it also invite, so we can get the corporation.
Right.
Okay, we have the corporation, so the two younger guys,
right,
their wives, and have the accountant come and their attorney.
Right, right.
And we just talk, and we just, you know what I mean? And that's because that's a multi-million-dollar
right.
company.
Work questions come up anyway. They'll say, like, what do you think about the coronavirus? And you could talk about it.
Yeah.
But if you're going to stand up and do, like a presentation, that has to be all done through the firm, and it sucks. You're not going to want to do that. You're
going to
have to read off.
I like that. I like that idea because those people are like family anyway with me.
Right.
Okay.
And it only solidifies the relationship. They'll be with us forever anyway, but now they'll really be with us
okay,
forever.
You know what? You know, now that we're kicking it around, it might be a good idea to do right after income tax season's over because their accountants wrapped up or, you know, okay, good.
Right.
I'll bring it up. Okay, all right. I like that idea.
The golf thing's
that's
good.
Okay, so this is, guys, this is what you do at your Monday meeting, okay? You do brainstorming, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about, you know, did you call your centers of influence? It's, okay, what are we going to do with this niche, this roofing company, right? And is there another roofing company that we could, you know, could we be specialists in roofing companies? I don't know. All I'm saying is you guys can brainstorm a lot more effectively than anybody, but you got to just literally close the door, lock it, and put yourselves in that room for 20 minutes and brainstorm and come up with a 24-month calendar over the next, or even just a 12-month calendar. But 24 months kind of opens up the world to you. It's like,
yeah,
let's do this year, and next year let's do this variation on it. And just sort of start filling in the months. You don't have to make yourself crazy. You don't have to do 50 things.
Okay.
But you can do, you see what I'm saying? And have fun with it. Because you have some structure.
I'm meeting tonight at 4:30 with a guy who's a board of directors of the vocational tech school. Okay?
Good. Yep.
Okay, we've become friends. And at that meeting, I'm going to, you know, I have a crazy background. In high school, I was an agriculture student. I was in the Future Farmers of America. So I have a tech background. I used to lathe wood and everything. And you know, I'm going to ask this guy if he wants me to talk at the vocational tech school, you know, at the board of directors, because that's where that's where we can get all the plumbers, the electricians, and,
right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And so I'm going to meet with him today at 4:30, you know, and I think that I don't think anybody's ever approached it from the educational point of view. You know what I mean, Tony?
Yeah.
And after I go after that,
right.
I mean, nobody ever goes after plumbers, electricians, and all this stuff.
Right.
We have something else taking place in this area, Rob. The Lehigh Valley is going to boom in the next 4 or 5 years. If you just look at the map, Philadelphia keeps pushing north and New York keeps pushing west. And more people keep moving here from New Jersey because of the taxes in New Jersey. So we're having more people build homes, flip houses, and things like that. And, you know, I'm just thinking that's going to be something. So I arranged the meeting today with the guy who's on the board of directors at 4:30.
Sweet.
Just thinking about this is going to be maybe because of some of the stuff we're doing, it started to make me think a little bit more about this, you know. So, I think we can, you know.
Michael, what boards are you on now?
Well, I have to be careful because Morgan Stanley gives me all kinds of shit about this. I am the commissioner of men for the Allentown Diocese. I'm in charge of, I bring Catholic speakers in for our diocese and have been very successful with that. However, Morgan Stanley has brought me in front of the legal department one or two times and grilled me on what benefits am I making from this. And they are, it's really in cross purposes of what we're talking about here. They want to know if I'm getting money from the diocese. No. How am I being reimbursed? No. Anything and everything, to the point where I got sarcastic with them last year and then asked them if they'd like to become Catholic when I walked out the door. I'm really pissed off at them. So I, excuse me, hell, it's Ash Wednesday. But in any event, I, you know, I
well, today
anything that comes down the pike that's as a result of that, it's almost as if Morgan Stanley is trying to tell me, don't do it. We don't want any conflicts.
Why? You're not getting any. I mean, you're in charge of speakers for them. That's your role and their work.
Oh, I'm like the spokesman for men for our diocese. Any problems that come up, like we have a conference on Saturday, and I got a phone call from the bishop's office saying, you're going to have a problem at the conference. What's the problem? Well, somebody who's a representative of the LGBT community is going to come in, and his goal is to bring dissent to that conference. So I got to handle that. Okay, so we had in the conference in November, somebody wanted to bomb the conference at DeSales University, so we had to handle that. You know, I've become I'm the spokesman for the diocese. For better or for worse. I'll mention it to the three, for Tony and Lisa. I don't talk to anybody else about it, but that's what it entails.
Yeah. No, that's, look, my goal is to get you guys into positions of responsibility in your community.
Well, that's a good one. Yeah. You know, and I try
not.
Well,
you can see the benefits. You can see the benefits, right?
Yeah.
You're considered a responsible person, therefore people turn their money over to you because you've demonstrated that you are a responsible person with credibility and leadership skills.
People
join boards all the time. They go to the meetings, they go home, they say, why don't I get any introduction? I go, because you haven't demonstrated any leadership or responsibility. You got to become head of a committee, do a good job, become president, do a good job, then they'll turn their money over to you. God, it's just human. It's just human. You got to understand human psychology just a little bit.
I understand.
Right?
Okay.
So you're doing everything right, Michael. Okay, congratulations.
But I have to ask for the order, though, is what you're telling me, a little bit more. I've got to.
You have to make personal friends with people, and you have to ask about their business.
Right.
Okay. So what we do is we go to the meetings, and we are the man at the meeting. No, you've got to become a friend at the meeting. So you want to build your friendships, and you want to take people to lunch and play golf with them that you think are reasonably probable prospects for you, and you want to ask about their business, and then the rule of reciprocity says they'll ask about your business, and you tell them, this is what we do, this is why we're proud of what we do. If you need help, I'm happy to help you. If you need a second opinion, happy to look at what's going on. That's all you need to do, okay? But you can't just go to the meetings and go home and be the big guy, you know, the man at the diocese. You need to be a friend.
Rob, can we have Lisa be the director of marketing with the idea that she runs the marketing calendar, but Mike and I, in our weekly meetings, come up with what's actually on the calendar. Like, okay, you know, in April we're going to do a golf thing.
Like,
but she runs the calendar. Yeah. She's obviously involved too, but from the brainstorming part of it. But she's
the one who keeps the idea.
And lets us know, like, yeah, next week you guys have this thing on Friday, you know, whatever it is.
Okay.
We do that.
I think it's crazy, and I love it. Okay, because it's different. All right. So let's try it, Lisa. You're going to become the woman of the team here. All right.
Okay, now both of these guys are like, I don't already do.
I know.
She's going to be asking for more money very soon.
Jesus.
All right, so we have one more director to assign.
Leadership.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think Michael and Tony, you need to argue this out, okay? I mean, you guys argue it out. You can do 6 months each. You can, but I want you to think about it and talk about it.
Leadership.
Because the person, leadership. Who's in charge of leadership? Who's the leader?
Well, I mean, Mike's got 2.5 times the seniority of me, so I would say he's the leader.
What does that entail?
Yeah, yeah,
like when you
what
say,
does that entail?
Give me the definition of that role.
That is the person that creates the vision, the purpose, the mission of where we're going, how we're going to get there, and then holds the other people and the team accountable to those, to the five-star model, to their
okay.
roles and responsibilities.
That's my job.
That's me.
There
that's
you
my
go.
Job.
He
that's
just,
my
he
job.
Just got
okay. that's my job. But honestly, Rob, it's like 51, it's like 51-49, me and Tony.
But I want you to take this very seriously. And look, you're a good mentor. You're a good guy. You're a great leader. I want you to lead your team like you lead the diocese. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is personal development. So you make a folder up for Lisa. You make a folder up for Tony. And you meet with them every month. You put it on the schedule and you meet with them. Personal development and professional development.
Okay.
Okay? It's a really important role. It's the most important role. Are we doing what we said we were going to do? Is everybody on the team doing their roles and responsibilities, and how can I help them to develop? Larry Wilson, one of my mentors, who I highly recommend his writings, but he said to me, Rob, managers get things done through people. Leaders get people done through work. Okay, so what we want is, and look at Michael, you know at this point, that's the most important role you'll ever have now in this job, is developing your team, developing your people. It's the most fun thing you can do. That's why I do what I still do, right? I love doing it. I love seeing people grow, and that's the most important thing. So everybody take their roles and responsibilities seriously, meet every Friday and go through them, what you're doing, how you're doing it, how's the 24-month marketing calendar going, what's on it, what are we going to add to it, how's the 24-month calendar for implementing the financial plans going, et cetera. Everybody's got roles and responsibilities. And then we'll talk about doing a gap analysis a little bit later, but that's basically – where you say, where are we now? Where do we want to go? Simple, but you just write out a one-pager. You could do that now. Just write out a one-pager for each role and responsibility, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and what you're going to look like next year.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So if you need information on the five-star model, I go through it in excruciating detail in the Supernova Multiplier. You also have a book on teams that Curtis Brown and I wrote, one of my partners here at Supernova, and that can help you to really become a world-class team. Because you guys got the structure. You got everything you need, and you've got leverage. I mean, you've got great contacts. You've got great leverage in your market. You guys can easily double your business and then double it again. I know that sounds a little crazy, but remember, I've been doing this a long time, and I've built many teams from 0 to 5 million and above. So I know how to do it. And there's not too many teams that have the capability or the desire or the intelligence. You need talent, skill, intelligence, and desire. And accountability is the key to putting it all together and keeping it together. So, Lisa, you're the accountability coach.
Okay.
All right, crack the whip. Have fun. Good call.
We'll meet Friday.
Okay. Thanks, Rob.
Right.
See you next week.
Thanks,
awesome, guys. Way to go.
Bye.
Thank you.
So we're going to meet Friday again.